It was the kind of close, oppressive afternoon in which Holmes, deprived for some weeks of any case worth his attention, had retreated into his black mood and his violin. He was soaring at a slow Beethoven adagio when the door opened and Inspector Lestrade was shown up. "A telegram, Mr. Holmes," he said without preamble, laying a small pink form upon the table. "Picked up off the floor of a cab in Tottenham Court Road this morning. The cabman swears it was dropped by the gentleman he set down at the British Museum at 9:30. The gentleman has not been seen since, and within the hour we found him in a carriage at King's Cross, dead, with a phial of laudanum in his pocket and no mark of violence upon him. We supposed suicide, until we found the telegram. The Yard's chemists make nothing of it, and so I have come to you." Holmes set down his violin and took up the form. He read it once, frowned, read it again, and laughed. "Well, Watson," he said, "the dead gentleman has solved his own death for us if we trouble to read his last word." The form bore a single line of capital letters, PHHWPHDWWKHUNURPDWWHQ. M. "Allow me, then, to set out the persons, the evidence, and the testimony as they stood before us. First, the suspects. Mr. Abel Maitland, senior underkeeper of the Greek and Roman Antiquities. A thin, scholarly man of 50, much respected in his field. He had been in his office in the museum from 9 o'clock that morning. The dead gentleman, a private collector named Edmund Foxton, had had an appointment with him at 10 in the Greek room. Mr. Julian Marston, dealer in classical antiquities, of Maddox Street, Mayfair. A florid, well-spoken gentleman of 40 who had had professional dealings with Foxton in connection with a small Etruscan bronze the late collector had purchased some 6 months earlier. The bronze had been the subject of dispute, Marston having later believed it to be a forgery. Mr. Joseph Ashby, Foxton's secretary, for years in his employment. A quiet, careful young man of 28, who had drafted Foxton's correspondence and kept his collections catalogue. He was on the firm's books at a salary of £120 and was understood to be engaged to be married. Mrs. Caroline Foxton, the dead gentleman's wife of 9 years. A handsome, somewhat reserved woman of 34. She had risen at her usual hour, breakfasted with her husband, and seen him off in his cab at 9:30. She had spent the morning at her dressmaker's in Wigmore Street, where she was attended by Madame Lefroy from 10:15 until midday. Mr. Richard Brennan, Foxton's man of business, of Lincoln's Inn. A grave solicitor of 55, who had handled the Foxton affairs for 11 years. He had been at his chambers at the relevant hour in conference with another client, a fact attested by his clerk and by the second client's signed engagement book. Now to the evidence. The cipher. The telegram reads PHHWPHDWWKHUNURPDWWHQ. M. Holmes pointed out at once that this was no cipher more elaborate than a Caesar shift of 3 places, each letter is to be replaced by the letter 3 before it in the alphabet. The plain text reads, "Meet me at the Greek room at 10. J. The phial of laudanum. A small phial, half empty, found in Foxton's right-hand coat pocket. The pharmacist's label was that of Mr. Henshaw of Wigmore Street, with whom Foxton had a long-standing account. The prescription was Foxton's regular one, for a stomach complaint of some years' standing. The Etruscan bronze. A small bronze figure of a winged lion, 3 inches long, said to be of Etruscan workmanship. Marston had sold it to Foxton the previous October for £110. He had subsequently come to believe it a forgery and had asked, unavailingly, for the return of the purchase money. Foxton's appointment book. Foxton kept a small green leather appointment book in his coat pocket. The Thursday's entry read 10. Maitland, Greek Room, re-catalogue. There was no entry for any other meeting that morning, nor any reference to Marston. Ashby's wedding plans. The secretary was understood to be on the eve of his marriage to a Miss Trevelyan of Putney. The wedding was set for the 2nd week of August. The cabman's account. The cabman who had set Foxton down at the museum at 9:30 reported that his fare had been agitated during the ride, opening and closing his coat pocket several times, and had directed him by mistake first to the Russell Square gate before correcting himself. The telegram was found upon the floor of the cab when the cabman swept it out at the rank. Marston's gallery accounts. Marston's accounts, which Lestrade obtained later that evening, showed the gallery to be in considerable embarrassment. A bill of £300 fell due on the Friday following. And to the statements taken. Inspector Lestrade, of Scotland Yard, says, the doctor is sure of laudanum. He is sure also that the dose was twice what Foxton was prescribed. We had taken it for a self-inflicted accident, but the cipher told a different tale. Mr. Abel Maitland, underkeeper, British Museum, says, Mr. Foxton did not come to my office at 10. I waited for him until 11 and then sent a boy to the porter's lodge, who reported he had not entered the building. Mrs. Caroline Foxton, wife of the deceased, says Edmund had taken his draught the previous evening. He was perfectly well at breakfast. I cannot, I will not, believe he took his own life. Mr. Henshaw, pharmacist, Wigmore Street, says Mr. Foxton's prescription was for 10 drops at bedtime. The phial in his pocket was at half its level. He had collected the phial from me on Tuesday, fresh. That is the ground. Make of it what you will, before Holmes makes of it what he must.